But we are looking at the temptations of the Lord Jesus after he had been baptized in water and remarkably filled with the Holy Spirit. We see at the end of the previous chapter, Matthew chapter 3, that the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended as a dove, like as a dove, on the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a wonderful affirmation of who he was. And just go very briefly to Matthew chapter 3. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." What a day that must have been for the disciples, and what a day for the Lord Jesus launching out on his ministry. And we might expect, as he launched his ministry, would he not have gone straight to the temple in Jerusalem? The great acclamation. He didn't. He was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. First lesson, isn't it? It is that, friends, we need to be those who surrender ourselves to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Do we seek the Lord's guidance and direction in all that we do? Or are we those who make our own plans? Think of the beginning of the pandemic. I recall preaching on James chapter 4, the end of James chapter 4, woe be to those who say that they will go to this city or that city. Let me just find it. Go to now, verse 13. Today or tomorrow, that ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If the Lord will. We need to seek the Lord's will for what we do, friends. And that's a principle of the Christian life. The Lord Jesus Christ went at the bidding of the Spirit into the wilderness. Verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You just turn very briefly to Mark chapter 1, verse 12, and immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And there, in that wilderness, where the Lord Jesus had an opportunity to prepare himself for his ministry. Not unlike Paul. Paul spent 3 years in the desert before he began his ministry. The Lord Jesus spent these 40 days in the wilderness, communing with his Father and fasting. As I mentioned this morning, we need to be those who, with our prayers, do fast. I'm not suggesting that anyone fasts for 40 days. We need to be careful with our bodies. This was a supernatural fast, not one that is commended. I would be slow to recommend anyone fasting more than a day, really. Some people would fast for 3 days, but don't do anything that would endanger your health. We must be sensible in that regard. And the next point about fasting is, don't tell anybody you're doing it. You're to put on a happy countenance. People are not to know you're fasting, if at all possible. Because otherwise, you're fasting to men, and people are going to say, oh, well, look at X or Y, look at Bill, look at Bob, look at Julie. You know, Aren't they spiritual? They spend time fasting. Friends, let it this be a secret between you and the Lord, that he might see how seriously you take praying. And once you've resolved to fast, we need to push that fast through until we have completed what we under God considered the length of that fast to be. Because in this case, we know the Lord Jesus Christ was driven into the wilderness and he was tempted. And friends, just because we are communing with God does not mean we will be free of temptation. Indeed, it may well be the time that we are tempted most. As we remember that this is a spiritual battle. The Lord Jesus was engaged in a spiritual battle. And we know that because we see right back in Genesis, we see that prophesied. We saw a shadow of it when the Lord spoke to the serpent in Genesis 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Well, there was to be a battle between the seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the devil. And the devil would the Lord Jesus would bruise the head of the devil, and he would bruise the Lord Jesus' heel at Calvary. We get another hint of that spiritual battle in Revelation chapter 11. Let me just a moment while I turn there. Chapter 12. We read, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads, the devil. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out. For we know on the cross the Lord Jesus defeated all those principalities and powers ranged against the believer. Colossians, we read that in Colossians chapter 2. Blotting out, verse 14, the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And here we have that battle shown to us with the temptation of the Lord Jesus in the wilderness. And friends, don't forget, the battle is not just with the Lord Jesus. We are in a spiritual battle too. The woman and her seed. We are the seed of the woman. We are the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ, aren't we? We belong to him. And friends, just as the Lord Jesus entered into temptation, we too enter into temptation. Now he, although tempted, He never gave in to temptation. Being God, he couldn't have done, because the Lord Jesus, to use a theological term, is impeccable. The impeccability of Christ meant that he could not sin, because God cannot be tempted with sin and cannot sin. Friends, So he couldn't, but you see, the devil had nothing in the Lord Jesus. The devil does have something in you and I because of our fallen natures. So we have to be all the more careful. The Lord Jesus was tempted, and his first temptation, which is the one I want to focus on tonight, the end of 40 days, couldn't have been more hungry. He must have thought, well, he must have been tempted to think, he doesn't eat, he'll die. And yet, and indeed, that's where the devil put this thought in him. Well, look, you're the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. God, the Son of God, he could have used his power to satisfy his bodily longings. And you see, that's a temptation for you and I as well, isn't it? How often do we get tempted by the things of this life? We want them. We seem to want them very badly. We can make a case for saying that we need them. Well, you see, the difficulty we have is that so often those things in this world are in sharp contrast to the things of God's kingdom. They come in conflict with them. The devil dresses himself up as an angel of light, and he tries to persuade believers that God has given us the whole world for our enjoyment. And of course, there are many, sadly, who believe that they've only got to ask for something and they'll get it. And this was, some of you will be aware of David Yonggi Cho, who died, had his obituary last week in the Times. This man invented this idea that you could imagine what you wanted and you could ask God for it, and whatever it was. He said, I think it was a bicycle he wanted when he was a teenager, and he thought this bicycle through, and then he prayed for it, and lo and behold, just what he was imagining was given to him. Friends, we must be careful not to be asking God for something that is satisfying our fleshly desires and not relying on the Lord. We read in James chapter 2. James chapter 4. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. The Lord Jesus was being invited to use his divine powers to satisfy the desires of the body. Isn't that a temptation that we have too? Tempted to enjoy the things of this world, be satisfied by them. The Lord Jesus had a hunger. His body appeared to be on the point of death. Yet he was wise enough to know that actually God was able to sustain him even without food. And that's a remarkable thing, isn't it? That God can keep us despite our lack of the physical sustenance that keeps a person alive. Because he is God. So he quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 8 and responds to the devil, man doth not live but by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. See, God is not bound by the rules of nature. Remember Elijah, he went 40 days, how was he sustained? Ravens, actually in the brook Cherith. Sorry, I think I'm slightly confusing my accounts of Elijah. Remember in the brook Cherith, he was fed by ravens. He was fed angels' food, and that sustained him for 40 days. He was given supernatural strength. God is able to do that, isn't he? He was able to multiply the meal in that for the woman, for that widow. Again, in Elijah's time, God is able to keep us He kept the people of Israel in the desert. How did he feed them? On angels' food. He fed them on the manna. And that is indeed what he is quoting from, what the Lord Jesus is quoting from. They didn't have the things that they desired, but God gave them what they needed. And God gives us what we need. It may not always be what we desire. You look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, you'll see the point that is being made. Verse 3, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. God fed the people of Israel with manna, this heavenly manna, to make them realize that they did not live by bread alone. You see, bread, natural bread on its own, natural food will feed the body, but it might even destroy the soul if we simply lust after food. It tends to, if we fill ourselves with all that we want from this world, then we won't have room for the things of God. See, how were the people of Israel to get from the Red Sea to the Promised Land through the wilderness? They could only get there through the bread that the Lord gave them. And what do we read? This is a very special kind of bread. They would not have got into the Promised Land without it. Well, if you turn with me, please, to John chapter 6. We see
Hello, Sister Arnis. Hello, what happened?
I'm not sure.
It's Alona. I just seeing your name. That's all I see. It just gone off. John is gone away. We don't know what happened.
I'm not sure what happened.
Well, I just have to wait and I don't know. There's nothing we can do. Sorry.
I'm gonna wait to see if he's gonna come back.
All right. I just don't touch nothing. I'll just leave it like that, see what happened. It could be him, not us. Okay, I'll let you go. Bye-bye. Sister Lona, you probably should text him back.
I have. I sent a message to say he's gone offline, not sure what to do.
All right, and I'll wait then. Probably try to get back. Okay.
Oh, I think he's coming back now.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, great.
I'm very sorry about that. So I had to use change phones. The internet simply went completely.
Okay, great. We can hear you again now. And see you.
Good, I'm pleased to hear. My apologies. Well, I just had taken us to John chapter 6, because when I was talking about the manna in the wilderness, and how the people of Israel needed that to get to the promised land. And it's the same with us. We need that manna in the wilderness to get to heaven. And the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 6, I read verse 26, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." They then ask, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. And then he said in verse 31, they said to him, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. So you see how that manna came down from heaven in the wilderness? Is it flakes of this bread? And then the Lord Jesus said in verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So friends, we want to get to heaven. We need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will give us heavenly manna to eat. See, the Lord Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Friends, if we want to go to heaven, we must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, eating is believing. We believe on him, and that belief is food for our souls, everlasting food for our souls. Have you eaten of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you feasting on the Lord Jesus? See, the Lord Jesus in John chapter 4 said something extraordinary to his disciples. They'd gone off to the village to get food, and they came back. And in verse 32, he said to them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. See, that was meat for his soul, doing the will of God. And friends, if you want to have meat for your soul, then you must do the will of God. There's no other way. I said at the beginning, you know, we need to seek the will of God in our lives. If we do something else, because we think we know better, it won't satisfy us. Whatever it is that we have in this world, if it is not through the will of God, we won't be satisfied. And that goes for everything that we do, the job that we do, the place that we live, the person that we marry, if we do marry. How many people really seek the Lord about these things? Or do they walk into them because they want them? Friends, we must beware of will worship, doing what we want, not what God has directed. See, the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 12, unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. And that is the principle of the kingdom, friends. We must be willing to die to self, that we might live for Christ. And that life that we live in Christ is a life of fullness. But friends, it's so easy when we live that life to be diverted away from it. And so we find in exactly what happened in Psalm 106, what has happened in the wilderness. We find it in Numbers chapter 11. It's commented on in, let me just read it, find it in Numbers chapter 11 first. Verse 1, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the utmost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And reading verse 4, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all before beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed and the colour as the colour of Bedelian. You see, they got bored of this manna when they first were given the manna. It was like honey to them. But now that honey becomes bitter. They were bored with it. Friend, we must be careful never to be bored with the things of God. There is something wrong with our hearts if we are. That's what will happen if our hearts are moved away from the Lord and we will desire other things. Psalm 106, this is what? This is the commentary of the psalmist. Then believed they his words, they sang his praise, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. We need to be careful, friends. We might get what we want. God will send it to us as a judgment, but he'll send leanness into our souls with it. Friends, if we don't have God's will, if we don't seek his will in our lives and are prepared to do it, in the end, everything else will be like dust and ashes in our mouths. Do you remember when we looked at Esther and there was the wicked Haman? The wicked Haman had everything, didn't he? He was prime minister. He had, was it seven sons? I think it was seven sons. Had a wife, Zeresh. Had everything really that the world can give him. But there's one thing he didn't have. He didn't have his way with Mordecai. He hated Mordecai. And all his success, his high position at court, the favor he had with the king who would do anything he asked. You just go with me, if you turn to the book of Esther, let me just take you to that passage. Let's see. That is chapter 5. He'd been for a banquet with the king and the queen, like you and I being invited to Buckingham Palace when Prince Philip was still alive, to have an audience, have dinner with the queen and the Duke of Edinburgh. Imagine what an honour you would have felt when you would have left the palace and 6 inches higher, wouldn't you, taller? No one else can do it and should be on top of the world. But this is what Haman said: yet all this availeth me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. So long as he couldn't have his way, whatever other blessings he had, he couldn't see them. And friends, there might be something you desire in this world. You haven't got it. And because you haven't got it, everything else is as nothing. And you no longer give thanks to God. You no longer are grateful for the things that God has given you. You think, actually, the one thing that God hasn't given you is the one thing that you want. And because you want it so badly, your love for God grows lukewarm and even cold. That's what happens, friends. And we need to be careful. We must take heed of the warnings of the people of Israel concerning the manna in the wilderness. Otherwise, we will tire of our salvation. We will tire of the words of God. And we will seek our appetites to be satisfied elsewhere. Let us always be those who seek first God's kingdom and righteousness, knowing that all the things that we need will be added unto us. Friends, let us take heed of the temptation that the Lord was tempted with. And remember how the Lord dealt with it. He answered the devil with scripture. The devil twisted scripture, as he still does today. He knows it better than you and I. When the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he, the Lord Jesus, answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Friends, that's how we should be sustained. We are sustained by God's word. We need to fill ourselves with it. Be careful we don't spend too much time on other things. Be careful where our eyes wander. May the Lord deliver us and forgive us when they do wander in the wrong directions. Let us be filled with the manna that God has given us. Let us be filled with the Lord Jesus Christ. May he reign in our hearts. May we be willing to give up all to serve him. May the Lord bless his word with one of our hearts. Amen.